When a person becomes a Christian, sooner or later, there comes the greatest possible change. We had a reading earlier tonight in which it said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And don't worry, you'll be out usual time. I'm not going to be very long in what I want to say. I want to follow up with what Philip has been saying by bringing the Word of God to bear on what has happened to him. This massive change that a person undergoes when he becomes a Christian is a real thing. And I want you to notice that, the reality of this change. We can see it from certain words that the Bible uses, and one of them is convert, converted, conversion. The psalmist said that whenever the joy of his salvation would be restored unto him, then he would teach transgressors the way, and sinners would be converted unto Christ. The Lord Jesus said, except ye become converted and be as little children, ye shall not in any wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. When the apostle Peter was preaching soon after Pentecost, he said, repent and be converted, that your sins be blotted out. So a conversion means a change has been undergone, and these texts of Scripture show that. But then if you move away from the texts and look at the people, you can see the change. Manasseh was a king, the most wicked imaginable you could find. The Bible says about him that he filled Jerusalem, that's the city from where he reigned. He filled it from one end to another with innocent blood. He was a butcher. But Manasseh, as well as being a butcher, was an idolater. He was brought up in the ways of the Lord, and yet he transgressed abysmally and began to worship the host of heaven, even in the place where God's temple was. Zacchaeus was deemed to be one of those counted the offscouring of all things because he was a publican, a tax gatherer working for the Romans. And we learn that he got wonderfully converted, as did the woman of Samaria, as did the Apostle Paul, who was religious but hated Christianity. He hated God's people and made it his business to go about persecuting them. But the Lord converted him. And if you read the first book of Corinthians, the sixth chapter, there are some verses in that chapter that tell us what many of the Corinthians were like before they got converted. Now you read it. Doesn't make for pleasant reading. Somewhere around about verses 9 and 10. Doesn't make for pleasant reading. But whenever the gospel was brought to them, they got converted. So ladies and gentlemen, I want to say to you tonight that conversion is a real thing. Sure, we've heard about it as our brother has been giving us testimony. Secondly, not only is there the reality of conversion, but there's the necessity of it. You can't get to heaven without being converted. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't not only get to heaven, but you couldn't appreciate heaven if you were there. Heaven wouldn't mean a thing to anybody who's not saved, because they don't want a wee bit of heaven on earth. And you get that bit of heaven on earth whenever you get saved, whenever your sins are dealt with, and you begin to live the Christian life. So you need a change of nature. You need a change of life in order to appreciate what heaven is like. And I'll tell you something more. You need to be converted to appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're not saved, and Philip told us about it, he went to the meetings with his parents, he was brought up in a godly home, but for all of that, he never really appreciated the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's only whenever a person has this change of life, it's only when they get converted, that the Lord Jesus, who up to that period was of no count to them, or somebody respectable, yes, but
nobody really loved or longed for by then. But once the change comes, why, the greatest person out is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nobody like him. And they can say that throughout the remainder of their life. And let me tell you, you'll not appreciate Sunday either until you're a Christian. Why do I say that? Because the Sabbath day is special. It's distinct. It's marked. God wants it so. But sure, it's only a drudgery to us if we're not Christians. But if you're converted, you'll love Sunday. You'll cherish it. You'll value it. So, it's necessary. And take the Bible. Well, sure, face it, friend. If you're not a Christian, you rarely read God's Word. You might read it in church. You might bring a Bible with you. You might read it now and again at home. But you don't read it day by day. You don't look for food in it. When trouble comes, you don't go to it to see what the Lord wants to say to you. The Bible is not a living companion. He talked about his rifle being beside him. I thought to myself when he was saying that, would my Bible be far from me? And if you read it and learn it, it'll never be far from you because you'll have it in your heart. That's even better than having it at your side. Although it's good to have God's Word close to you. But when you're converted and the change takes place, you'll appreciate the Bible, every part of it. But let me say something else. Not only is this change real and necessary, it's possible. You say, could the likes of me be converted? Sure, I couldn't do a thing to make myself religious. You're not asked to make yourself religious. The Bible tells us that salvation is the gift of God, not of works. So, conversion is possible. You say, how? This verse. If any man be in Christ, there's the secret. There's the source. The power of the Lord Jesus. We read in John chapter 5, that as the Father quickeneth sinners, so the Son quickeneth whom he will. He's sovereign. He's powerful. He can save to the uttermost all who come unto God by him. And then again, he sends the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit works the miracle of the new birth in our hearts and lives. That's why conversion, that's why this change is possible. But let me add a fourth thing to that, and that's the joy of it. Whenever the life is yielded to Christ entirely, there is joy. Whenever the Samaritans got saved in the book of Acts, whenever Philip went down to preach to them, the Bible says there was joy in that city. And then again, whenever the Philippian jailer got converted, the great change came into his life. The Bible says he rejoiced in the Lord with all his house. Whenever Zacchaeus was told by the Lord Jesus when he was up that sycamore tree, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. The Bible says he came down and received him joyfully. Somebody once wrote the words, and they're oh so true. They must have had great insight to write them. And this is what they wrote. I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed. Even as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wheeled. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Oh, there's joy in Christ. And we learn time and time again in the Bible about this. Whenever the Ethiopian eunuch was coming along in his chariot, reading from Isaiah chapter 53, Philip joined him in the chariot. And he says, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I unless some man show me? And he was reading actually from Isaiah 53. And the Bible says then that Philip preached Christ unto him. He got converted. And he said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip says, if you believe, you may. And so he went down into the water, got baptized. And then the Bible says, he went on his way rejoicing. What happened? He got converted. And if you were to get converted tonight and experience this great change, you would have joy as well. But let me add one thing to that, to the reality, to the possibility, to the necessity, to the joy. That is the visibility of it. It'll be seen in your life. Now, For some people, it may be different. I said there would be a massive change. A massive change in nature. But there'll also be a change in degree. Some people are religious and clean and upright, that if they get converted, you don't see a change very much outwardly, but they themselves know in their heart there's been a change. Other people, like what Philip was describing himself, when the change comes, it's so marked. You can see the depth and the degree of it. But there'll be a change in your life. You can't be converted and people not know about it sooner or later. If you'll pardon a personal illustration, I was saved for a number of months before I really fooled anybody. And I remember, I can see it yet, in Hamilton Robb's factory down there, not far from this church, I was walking up what was called the engine room, and I met my foreman, Mr. Billy Bailey, who was a very godly man and a good example of a Christian in work. And I stopped to talk with him. I don't know why I stopped, because we both worked in the same place, but I was younger, he was older. And I said something to him, and he says, no, he says, I can't. He says, I'm a Christian and you're not. He wasn't being rude, it was just his way, maybe, of witnessing. And I said, how do you know that I'm not a Christian? And I saw the look that came into his face, and he said, are you? I said, yes, I am. He said, when did this happen? And I told him when. And he looked up and he says, he says, come to think of it, there has been a bit of a change about your life over this while. I never said anything. But this conversion experience that I had experienced a few months previous, it was beginning to show without me saying anything about it. And I'm saying to you tonight, my dear hearer, if you have been converted lately, but have not said, maybe in the mission that's just finished, or maybe way back beyond that, it's going to show. You'll not be able to hide it. And if you're thinking of being converted, be prepared for the change that other people, sooner or later, will know. Are you willing for that change? Your life will be changed. Your lifestyle will be changed. Your disposition will be changed. Your destiny on earth will be changed. God will open up a whole life of service and blessing for you. Your destination will change. Instead of going to hell, you'll go to heaven. The great change. Would you like to experience it? Will you take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or, like our brother, if you did profess faith in the Lord in days gone by, but you're far from Him and not living the Christian life now, would you not come back to Him again? Those peaceful hours I once enjoyed, how sweet their memories still, they've left an aching void this world can never fill. Will you take Christ tonight either way and make Him Lord of your life?